Remember one in the one of the earlier tracks that we talked about. Excuse me, I kind of got a little bit of a cold. We talked about the media's role in our oligarchy. It's really difficult to talk about why the democracy is not functioning as well as it should. Without including the media, because the media, remember when the founders decided that the role of the government was to hold the private sector accountable, which it should, the impetus of all government action should be, funding the public realm, and regulating the private sector. And they're basically, it's basically extension of us workers. And but what you've got today isn't even close to what they envisioned. I mean, one case. I mean, Noam Chomsky wrote a book about it in the late 80s about how the media had become such propaganda for all the existing oligarchies. They didn't challenge any of it. They didn't peek behind the politicians to see who was receiving monies. They didn't look behind the Supreme Court to see who was getting monies. They just didn't care. And as a result, we got all this corruption occurring, and the media is doing nothing about it. Matter of fact, as Chomsky wrote about, here's a quote from him in the 80s: "The mass media serves as a system for communicating messages and symbols to the general populace. It is their function to amuse, entertain, and inform, and to inculcate individuals with the beliefs, values, and codes of behavior that will integrate them into the institutional and structures of the larger society. In a world of concentrated wealth and major conflicts of class interests, to fulfill this roles requires systematic propaganda." And you can roll that back and listen to it as many times as you can, but that just sums it up. If you check out, and I'll put the link in the article about the news media's propaganda. There's a video out there about the Century of Self. It's on YouTube. You can find it. It's, I think, two or three parts. It's a major one. And it talked about how Sigmund Freud, who was big with the psychological application of breaking down the mind in the 30s, and he was later disproved, but his nephew wasn't. His nephew became the father of propaganda in the United States, and he started propaganda, public relations for major industries. And I mean, you can see Hugo Black, the Supreme Court Justice in the 70s, said the press was to serve the governed, not the governors. Well, remember what Thomas Jefferson said in our first episode of the oligarchy versus democracy. He was scared of the economic wolves, and he was scared that the economic wolves would come after the government, whatever government we created. They would come after that and break it down and use it to their benefit. And that's exactly what they started doing from the very beginning. They came in and they pretty much shut down all aspects of We the People, and it became all about we the wealthy few, the plutarchs, the robber barons, the oligarchs, whatever you want to call them. They're the ones who are running the country. And you can't very well run the country if the press is coming after you at every corner and revealing how you're manipulating politicians and how you're manipulating regulators to get your own interest taken care of. The people, if they heard this long enough and heard it repeated over and over again, you'd see mass revulsions like we see, revolutions like we see in Europe. The socialists today are covering the revolts in France. You know, where Emmanuel Macron's trying to impose cuts on Social Security and raise the age of getting a pension from 64 to 67. Well, the people step in and go, "No, you're not going to do that. We liked it just the way it was before, and keep your paws off of Social Security. And keep your paws off our pensions, and spend your time instead regulating the corporations that are pretty much cutting out the workers in every aspect of our economy." But the government's not all that keen to do that because they receive campaign contributions from these corporations. And they're being paid to look the other way. You know, how does the state of Indiana become so dirty? And today we got a no zone. This is one of the reasons I'm coughing. We got our ozone is full of dust and pollutants, even though there's no crops in the field. Our air is polluted with microbes coming out of smokestacks in southern Indiana. It's called the Asthmatic Alley. You've also got the CAFOs who are sending off incredible pollutants, and we all get to breathe them. And that's why we're all ending up going to the doctors and getting treated for asthma and bronchitis and sinus infections, even as to go as far as cancer. That's why we've seen an increasing amount of cancer centers being built across Indiana. That's coming from the corporate arena. That's coming from the lack of regulation by the government on the private sector. Okay? And the regulators and the politicians are told to look the other way, and here's a check. You know, we know some constituents may raise a fuss. here's a check to make it feel all better. And the other thing they do is they control the media through advertisement directly and through other ways. The media becomes a filter for the existing oligarchy. They pretty much let everything run the way it has to. Chomsky, I mean, Einstein already pointed that out in the 1939, 1940. We talked about that, where he said that the media was already controlled by the oligarchy. And Noam Chomsky, famous thinker, and he came around and he said exactly the same thing. He said, you know, the media is nothing, if nothing else, it is just a source of misinformation. It's to keep us, the people, distracted from what's really going on. I mean, George Carlin in the 70s and 80s make crack jokes about it. You know, he was a famous comedian, and he cracked jokes. He said, listen, you people, you're only getting the truth that they want you to hear, not the truth that you need to hear. You think you've got everything you need to make an informed decision at the voter polls, but you do not. And the politicians that you get to choose from have already been chosen by the oligarchy. They wouldn't get to the point of running for office if they didn't have the backing of the local or regional or state or national oligarchies. They're all controlled by the oligarchies. Whatever you may think you're casting a vote for, I'm voting for a woke Democrat. He's going to do this, this, this in office. Well, have they ever done that? Have they ever followed up on any of that? No, they haven't. And the reason why is they are pretty much owned by the oligarchy. And the media is not going to make any kind of change. They're not going to bring about any kind of changes to what's going on to the systems that are running, like the healthcare, the criminal justice system. They're not going to make changes because you've got lobbyists writing checks to the politicians. You've got the politicians going on the media to talk about what they're doing, and none of it is going to change anything. The status quo is going to stay the status quo. I did a quick Google search just to give you an idea. 95% of all media is controlled by 6 companies. Did you get that? 95% of all media companies are controlled by 6 companies. AT&T, CBS, Comcast, Disney, News Corp, which just was bought by Fox, creating National Amusement. That's Rupert Murdoch. News Corp and Fox Corp is owned by Rupert Murdoch. So you got AT&T, Comcast, Walt Disney, National Amusement, and News Corp / Fox Corp. This is your media. They own everything. Therefore, the decision makers are preventing anything that will go against the oligarchy. I've tested this out on the local media scene, and here's what I discovered. The local press, the Star Press, was owned by Gannett, which also owned about six newspapers, and at one time they owned about six newspapers in the state of Indiana, including the Indy Star Press, which had all the coverage for the state capitol. It was horrible. I mean, it was horrible. The local meetings, the slant on it was very conservative, and although it wasn't conservative enough for the mega fans, wanted it to be even more to the right politically than it was. But anyway, they were horrible. But if you looked at the pages to see who the advertisers were, which went back to Chomsky's thing, you go back to see who the filters were, the filters, who's the advertisers. Well, it's the Chamber of Commerce people, and in my case, it's also the Ball Family Foundation and all the institutes that they give money to. They're like the ATM for the nonprofit world, but they give money and there's strings attached. There's marketing dollars in most of the budgets, and guess what? There's marketing for it's for advertising. So they take out these large advertising slots in the local newspaper, which keeps it running. That gives them a little bit of clout. The Ball Family can say, hey, we're doing this and that over here, and we don't want you paying attention to it. And the local newspaper looks the other way. And the people are going, we want a newspaper that looks after the people, the taxpayers. Well, guess what? You're not going to get that. You may want that, and that's what you're entitled to, but you're not going to get it because the oligarchy's in charge of the media. And it's a bitter pill to swallow. I did all kinds of research on to determine who was funneling money to the newspaper and in what ways. And I found the Ball Family, through lawyers and through nonprofits, was funneling money via lawyers. DeFervorans were the biggest ones. And they were basically concealing, but they were hiding money and dishing out money to the Chamber of Commerce and through the Star Press, through the back door. And it got a little heated, and the state had to step in at one point and say, give Mr. Smeckens what he wants. I got what I want, and I got to see exactly what I thought. And it was a document that the Ball Family, through their lawyers, was paying money to keep the chamber afloat, who was also running a independent media company, trying to compete with what I'm doing, but not holding corporate world accountable and not holding the government accountable. They were basically stenographers. I think I mentioned that before. They were just simply stenographers. They take press releases from these companies and just print them on their pages for all the world to see. And that's pretty much what you get all over the country. The State Department tells the Associated Press and Reuters what to print. They print it, and then the other newspapers pick it up. But it's all coming from the State Department, Well, the State Department is nothing but propaganda. I mean, I don't care how you slice it. The State Department and the Pentagon puts out the worst propaganda you can imagine. And it's always slanted in one side. We're seeing case after case after case after case showing that the Pentagon's been lying, the State Department's been lying, etc., etc. And you got Glenn Greenwald and you've got Edward Snowden. And my favorite case, Julian Assange, who's now been in prison for 4 years for committing a crime of good journalism. Is basically his crime is good journalism. He exposed the national security industry, which Seymour Hersh has been doing for a decade. But Julian Assange embarrassed everybody by releasing some really good documents and cables that showed that the United States was lying and it was killing people in Iraq and Afghanistan and why, and that it was all lies leading up to the wars. So they've tracked him down, and I can tell you, I can do a whole podcast just on Julian Assange and what he's been through, and how the United States has tried to kill him and worked against Venezuela with their president and slammed their president into keeping Julian Assange in there. I mean, it's the most craziest thing you've ever seen. It's a movie. There is a movie about it, but I mean, there's a documentary, a fat documentary coming out when all this is through. And this is our media, and this is our government. I'll have to close with this quote from Niles Melzer. He's the UN Special Rapporteur on Torture at the United Nations. Okay? And he reviewed the case file of Julian Assange and ended up writing a book about it. There's now two books about Julian Assange. And here's one of his quotes. Because if investigative journalism is classified as espionage and can be incriminated around the world, then censorship and tyranny will follow. A murderous system is being created before our very eyes. War crimes and torture are not being prosecuted. YouTube videos are circulating in which American soldiers brag about driving Iraqi women to suicide with systematic rape. Nobody is investigating it. At the same time, a person who exposes such things is being treated with 175 years in prison. That's the kind of journalism that we see today. When the U.S. sabotaged the Nord Stream pipelines, there were people out there who would come out and say, "We know the United States did it." And whoever was spending the time interviewing them would say, "Hey, listen, you got to stop talking about that. You can't say that. You can't say that." This is to Jeffrey Sachs, the great economist, from Columbia, I think it is. And he was told on air in front of a crowd, you got to stop talking like this because this is not what our masters want you to say. You're condemning them, and we can't have you doing that here on our show." And that's how pitiful it's become. I mean, there's nothing about the Julian Assange case that is honest. It's all a lie. It's all, the whole thing's a big lie. So it's been amazing to watch, and I hope everybody gets a chance to look at that. The press was set up to be a truth-seeking, independent press, but it is not allowed to do that. The universities out here who supposedly have freedom of speech and freedom to teach are teaching them nothing. They're teaching them how to pass along propaganda. That's really it. You know, I asked the local Ball State professors over here who said, you know, hey, we're churning out good students, and they're really making a difference in the world. And I said, we rank 25th globally on freedom of press. It's an international ranking. I said, we rank 25th. I said, what are you guys doing about turning that around? What are you doing? What are you teaching over there to turn that around? And quite frankly, they couldn't answer. They had no answer for it, and it's understandable. They're not going to teach kids how to be critical thinkers that are going to go out into the journalistic world and do what I do, because they're not going to get paid for it, because nobody's going to pay them. That's the problem. And they won't admit it. They could train them. They could set them up and show them how to do it. We could have podcasters all over the country doing what I'm doing, but nobody's going to get paid for it. That's the big problem. They got to teach them how they're going to get paid. Well, if you can't find advertisers, and you can't find subscribers because they're too scared to affiliate their name with your name, or they might lose their jobs, where are you going to get the money? I'm fortunate. I'm very fortunate to be able to do what I do. And that drives them nuts, because I can still do what they don't want you to do, what they've created a system that won't allow it, but I'm doing it anyway. And that drives them nuts. And what we need is our universities, who supposedly also work for the people, we need them training these kids on how to do this stuff and how to make a profit from it. And if we get enough people pointing fingers and showing the money flowing behind the scenes, you'll free up the free press to do their job, which they're supposed to do, and we'll be able to turn this puppy around. Until that happens, you're going to continue to struggle. You know, you've really only got the socialists at this point that are printing anything contrary to the mainstream media. And I'm talking about the New York Times and the Washington Post, the Associated Press and Reuters, and all of those. They are filters for the oligarchs. And that's the system that we're currently living in. And that's why we're failing miserably. And we rank 25th as a democracy, which I don't know how we rank that high, but we're declining. Every year we decline. I'm sure 2023 will be another year. So I appreciate everybody coming around and listening. And I'll have another episode out on oligarchies here pretty soon. We'll probably be touching on the financial oligarchy, since it's virtually in a meltdown as we speak. So thank everyone for tuning in, and we'll chat with you here in a couple of days. Thank you.